Friends in Christ, grace and mercy and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus, in whom all of God's answers are yes. We read again from 2 Corinthians in the first chapter, starting at verse 18. As surely as God is faithful, our word to you has not been yes and no. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, whom we proclaim among you, Silvanus and Timothy and I, was not yes and no, but in him it is always yes. For all the promises of God find their yes in him. That is why through him we utter our amen to God for his glory. And it is God who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us and who has also put his seal on us and has given us his Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. This is the word of God. Please be seated. So what do you suppose is the are some of the first words that a baby learns to say? Probably mama is up at the top of the list, and maybe dada. But then last Thursday night at the service, a bunch of people jumped right in, and they said no, as one of the words that a baby learns. And they got ahead of me because that's exactly where I was going. I was, yes, probably one of the top three words that a child learns as it's growing up is the word no. Although, I read in an article this last week about a baby, a little boy in England, whose first word was not mum or daddy, but get this. This little boy's first word was Alexa. And you talk about a sign of the times. And if you don't know what Alexa is, you're probably better off anyway. But suffice it to say, it is absolutely pitiful that would be a child's first word. My goodness, this poor little boy probably has more interaction with his Echo Dot than he does with the parents in his life. But I digress. For most children, the first words are going to be mama and dada and no. And no because they hear it so much, don't they? I mean, as soon as they're able to get up and get around and start getting into things, all they ever hear is the word no. Electrical outlets, no. Knives, no. Stove burners, no. The trash, no. Britney Spears, no. And of course, it's for their own good. They have no idea what's bad for them or good for them. No, you cannot ride your bike without your helmet. No, you cannot have that candy until after you eat your asparagus. And no, you can't go to Johnny's for a sleepover, not while your grandparents are visiting us here from a long way away, for Pete's sake, no. They hear it a lot. But you know what? I don't think it's just children. I think all of us could very easily and are easily left with the impression that no is God's favorite word too. No, you shall have no other gods. No, you shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. No, you shall not steal. No, you shall not commit adultery. No, you shall not tell lies. No, no. Are we ever going to hear yes? Well, yes, absolutely yes. Because as it turns out, God loves yes. Yes fits with his inherent nature. God is a lover. God is a giver. And he wants to give to you the very best of what he has. He wants to say yes to you. And I am here today to proclaim that today is God's yesterday. And I didn't make that up. That came with the Vacation Bible School material. I'm not that clever. Today is God's yesterday. And hear it once again in case you missed it. For all of the promises of God find their yes in Christ. The first yes in Jesus is signed to us and sealed in the blood of Jesus Christ and signed at the cross. And I assume, like you, that like me, you want to go to heaven, except that there's not a one of us here who can afford the price of admission. I mean, you think getting into Cedar Point is steep. My goodness. You know, think more about having to buy Cedar Point to get into it. And that's more like what it costs to go to heaven, except even that doesn't approach the price of admission to heaven. I remember back when our kids were little, we took our family to Hershey, Pennsylvania, and we went on that mock factory tour of the Hershey plant. Has anyone ever been on this mock tour? You sit in this little car, and you drive around through this mock factory, and they show you how they make Hershey's Kisses and Hershey bars and things like that. And then when you're all done, you get off, and they deposit you, guess what, at the gift shop. And so we got off, and we got into the gift shop, and we allotted each of our children a certain amount of money. I think it was $5 to buy something in the little store. And our little Rachel, our soon bride-to-be, I hope she doesn't mind me telling this, decided that she wanted a little teddy bear that was holding a Hershey Kiss and had little Hershey's Kisses on its feet. She just fell in love with this bear. She was clutching it to herself. Only problem was the bear cost $10, twice what she had. She couldn't afford it. So, as her parents, what did we say? We said, no, no. And that's when perhaps the sweetest, the most loving and sacrificial and selfless thing we ever saw between our kids transpired. Chris heard that, and he decided that he would give Rachel his $5 so that his little sister could have that bear. He said yes to her. And to this day, that little bear is a treasured possession. Almost makes me tear up when I think about the story. Yeah. Not so much for what it is, it's just a little bear, but it's for the sacrifice that it represents and the love that is behind it. And that's the way it is with eternal life. We would love to think that we can be holy enough and good enough to spend eternity with God, but we can never afford it. The price is just too high. The debt that we owe to God for our sins is so huge that what we have to offer in payment is a pittance. Our righteousness, our good deeds, our good intentions, as though God wants those, they fall far, far short of the price. We are the man in the parable who owed his king this impossible debt, but somehow thought he could pay it. We are the child in the gift shop, hoping that she can buy a $10 teddy bear with a $5 bill, except that we don't even come anywhere near that close to being able to afford the price of eternal life. But here's the wonder. When the Father should have said no to us, His Son said yes. And God sent us, not a Chris, but the Christ, to pay our debt and the admission price by living for us in perfect righteousness and dying for us in sacrificial love. And that's what St. Paul means when he says in Colossians chapter 2 that God has forgiven all our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside by nailing it to the cross. Can you live forever with God in His heaven? The answer is yes. A resounding yes. This is God's yesterday. And God's promise of eternal life finds its yes in Christ, which is why we utter our amen to God. Which is why we utter our amen to God. This is where you can say amen. Lutherans. Okay. Well, the second yes is sealed to us in our baptisms. You know, it's really good to know that the price of admission has been paid for us to enter into heaven, bought and paid for by Jesus Christ. It's good to know that we've been forgiven, that our sin debt has been canceled at the cross of Jesus Christ. It's good to know all of that. But like everything that is bought and paid for, there needs to be a receipt somewhere that shows us that for certain, this price has been paid. And sure enough, We do have a signed and sealed receipt, but it's not a piece of paper. It's our baptism. Here's what St. Paul says in this text happens to us as baptized Christians. He said, God establishes us with you in Christ and has appointed us and has also put his seal on us and has given us his Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. You know, in the old days, and even sometimes today, when an important agreement was signed, it was sealed with hot wax into which the parties to the agreement would impress their insignias. A signed and sealed document is the guarantee that everyone who is party to the agreement is going to keep their promises. We even today use the language of signed and sealed. Well, our baptism is God's sign and seal that he will keep his promises to us. Forgiveness? Yes. Adoption into his family? Yes. The Holy Spirit to live in our hearts? Yes. And to keep us firm to the end that we might be blameless on the day of Jesus Christ? Oh yes. All yes in Christ. Which is why we utter our amen to God.
Amen.
Thank you. Getting better. And the third yes in Jesus is that all of this is available to us, not by our own reason or strength, but through faith in Christ. But don't I have to keep at least most of the Ten Commandments? No. Besides, you can't even keep one. Well, don't I have to give more until I don't have any more to give, like the widow who gave her last two mites? No, there is no amount of money, not even your last two pennies, that can set you right with God. Well, don't I have to be more righteous, like a Pharisee? Don't I have to be more regular in worship and more dedicated to prayer? No, there's nothing that you can do to save yourself. Christ saved you by the forgiveness of your sins. Well, you mean he did it all? And there's nothing I can do to add to what he did? Yes, that's it. Well, of course keeping the commandments is a good thing. And giving generously is good. And living a righteous life is good. And so is regular worship and prayer. God desires all of that, of course. But he desires it not as a way to try to earn his love, but it's the way we respond to his love. He is the giver of every good and perfect gift. So your role is just to receive what he gives. Trust him. Trust him like a child trusts his mother and father and is totally at ease in their presence. And receive his gifts like a child who receives the care and the love of his parents and has nothing to offer in return except to love and to cherish them. Little children, all we do is trust God's promises, and we receive the good news that he has signed and sealed and delivered to us in Christ. And that good news is this. Yes, oh yes, you are mine forever. Enter into my joy. All of God's promises find their yes in Christ. Yes, you are forgiven. Yes, your admission price has been paid in full by your Savior. Yes, your destiny is secure. Yes, your baptism has bonded us together. Yes, I am with you even in the most turbulent of waters. Yes, I am preparing a place for you. Yes, you will live even though you die. Yes, you are now free to live for him who died and rose for you. All God's promises find their yes in Christ, which is why the church adds and utters its amen, amen, and amen. May the peace of God that is beyond all understanding guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ to life everlasting. Amen.